I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. Tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to get started with a joke.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I have another great, fantastic joke from Drunk as a Skunk, 150-plus jokes for beer lovers, wine connoisseurs, and raging alcoholics. A gentleman had too much alcohol at a party. He was heading home and was pulled over by a state trooper. Upon being tested, the fellow couldn't walk a straight line any more than he could drive one. So the trooper wrote him a ticket and had just given it to the driver before an accident in the opposite lane took his attention to more important matters. The inebriated driver, figuring that the trooper wasn't coming back for him, drove home and went to bed. He was awakened in the morning by a knock at the door. "Are you Mr. Johnson?" he asked. The man admitted that he was. "Were you pulled over at Main Street last night for driving under the influence?" Again, the man admitted that was him. "And what did you do then?" the trooper asked. The man replied he drove his car home and went to bed. "Where is your car now?" the trooper asked. The man answered, "Well, it's in my garage." And then the trooper asked, "May we see the car?" The man answered, "Why not? Sure." And opened the garage. Inside the garage was the state trooper's car.
Thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Jay. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise and might or will distract others. Take this time to get reconnected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. So if everybody's ready, we can start the meditation. We're going to do the fog light prayer now, and if you don't know it, it's up on the screen. There's a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked John to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. And we read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Which one? Spiritual experience right here? All right. I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic. Experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance, that principle is contempt prior to investigation.
Thank you. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn them off. Today we have Peter for session 3. It's been good listening to 1 and 2, so I look forward to hearing what he has to say tonight. Let's welcome Peter.
My name is Peter, recovered alcoholic, and I think I'm on step 2 tonight. Grateful to be alive and sober and part of a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. And again, thank the group for having me back here. to do this. It's by, like my 100th time doing one of these here, so it's always a treat to do this. June 23rd, 1988 is when a loving God separated me from alcohol. I'm very grateful, as I've said many times, for this gift of sobriety. And the longer I'm sober, I'm especially grateful for the many things God has taken from me, many of the things I thought I needed to be okay, usually things that were external. It's unbelievable how I'll believe what one person says or what the news says or what I hear, and I'll take it as the gospel truth. But if someone says, if I get a message like God says to do this, I got to take a survey before I listen. So I'm very grateful for many things God has removed from me. And a lot, I can't say all of it because I still have this mind that rolls when I don't want it to. But a lot of what God has taken from me is that, you know, that inner dialogue we walk around with often that's always talking to us, even while we're meditating and praying in a very sacred moment. It's got this other voice or voices that are still trying to talk. And I think the way that has happened by paying less and less attention to them. And one of the things I found to be very beneficial is doing inventory, 10 steps, 11 steps, doing personal inventory. When I'm doing that, I keep those voices at a distance, because when I'm not doing it, my stuff becomes paramount and gets very powerful. And all those voices I hear, I believe them to be true because they're mine, and that gives them a lot of power. So staying current with steps 10 and 11 over the years has been a huge a bonus for me. I'm very grateful for what God has given me, and believe it or not while I'm going through it, but sometimes the difficulties, the adversity, and you're wondering, how come God's putting this on my shoulders right now? I have enough, and I really want to get it off my back, and I want to have some ease and comfort. But it seems to be that it just prunes the tree, and it really gets to take for me to take a look at, who am I going to trust and rely upon? It's easy for me to say, I love God, I trust God with a pocket full of money and all my ducks in a row. But when, you know, the tornadoes hit, where do I turn to? You know, one of the questions I have to take a look at each time through the work is, what am I worshiping other than God? I came in here looking to find God and look for other areas to keep me happy, other people to keep me happy, other activities to keep me happy. And God starts to bat clean up. You know, am I going to God to solve the problem, or the same part of me that has created the problem? So I have found 36 years, thank you, God, that I'm here. And there's always a new wrinkle. There's always an uncover and discover stuff. As long as I'm current and up to date with the work and accountable to a sponsor. And one of the difficult things is to let my hands off the wheel when I think I should grab on tighter. I do have a sponsor. His name is Babazana of St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm currently sponsoring a dozen men. And, you know, sometimes when they call, it's not a good time for them to call. They miss their phone call, and they call me the next morning at 6 a.m., and I want to do other things. And but at the end of the week, you put those calls together and hear in those inventories and work with others, and I'm always better off on the other side of it all the time. So sponsorship has been great for me. My assignment, I did a little of one over the last couple of weeks, is to at least talk about step two tonight. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. What kind of behavior do I currently have that I'm in still denial over? You know, things I keep going back to thinking it's going to change. I still keep knocking on a door that's toxic. I still get into those relationships that I know looking at it is not going to work. Or hanging out with the same sort of people that I know I shouldn't be here. Or whatever activity it is, and I keep expecting it to change. And I put it in the corner. I throw dirt on it. I'm still in denial about it. What kind of areas are happening in my life like that? Because that's current insanity. It's really a first step problem I'm looking at. And I begin to get plaque on the soul. When I was really new, I found myself in the middle of this eating disorder. And prior to that, I was acting out a lot of different ways, you know, 4 or 5 months, and I'm living in Minnesota, and I'm going to meetings. I have no spiritual muscles. You know, I'm using a few different men to bounce things off of. We're great to bounce stuff off of people, but not sit with one person and unload the whole thing. And I start to get very, very untreated while I'm going to meetings and physically sober. And little by slowly, this thing starts to like a ball, a snowball going down a hill. And by the time I got home back to New York, by now it's like 1989, I have this eating disorder. And what I'm doing with it is I'm denying it. It's no big deal. If no one knows, it's okay. I'm not going to tell anyone about it. Well, I didn't act out yesterday with food. I was binging and purging a lot. So therefore, I got it under control now. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I really had to take a look at one of the things I can do, I can call it insanity, is trusting, relying upon me rather than God. I'm looking to control things. I'm looking to control people. I'm looking to control my home group. I'm looking to control what my sponsor, how he reacts to me. I'm looking to control things at work. That's a form of insanity because it's never worked before. One of the biggest delusions I walk into AA with is that life is controllable, and worse, I can control it. You know? If I protest, I'll get my way. No, I won't. You know, if I don't show up, they'll think I'm really serious, so it'll do what I want. Couples are great for that passive aggression thing. They don't talk to each other. They pass each other in the house, waiting for someone to cave. That's a form of control. It's really, really dangerous for me as an alcoholic. It's plaque on the soul. While I'm claiming to trying to live in the light or walking towards the light or actually living in the light, but my behavior doesn't look that way. If you want to know what my belief systems are, just take a look at my actions, not my words. So I had to be thoroughly convinced, and it took a lot of years to get to a lot of years of drinking. We often say in AA that God brought me into AA. Well, booze had a lot to do with that too. You know, the humiliations and the suffering and the degradations day in and day out, whether it was Park Avenue or Park Bench, to get to a point where I need help. And that's something that happens in here, not a conclusion of the mind. I hear some cats talking about the first three steps of conclusions of the mind. I don't understand that. Because my mind's not going to come to a conclusion, Peter, you need God. It's going to come to a conclusion of double vodka. Then we'll worry about God. Or go on marijuana maintenance, or just something. But it's not. It's gonna recoil as soon as the word God comes up. This is something that happens in the soul, especially getting in here. It could be the policeman who arrests us, or he or she throws us out, or when we're homeless. But something brings me to a state of reasonable. Circumstances make me willing, and we live life forward and understand it backwards. I have to, for me, believe that God created an environment for me that was filled with so much desperation that the ego got crushed. And the desperation screamed louder than the ego, where I go to someone and say, I need help. Or if the help is offered, I'm taking it. I'm not going to negotiate or debate about it. God creates that type of environment. To say when we come in here and we're hanging around folks who are, really want to do a recovery, and they don't have to be big book thumpers either. They're just really into recovery. That creates an environment in here, which will flip this, where suddenly I'm interested in the next meeting. I'm interested in reading a big book or scripture or going to church and being kind to people. And the thought of going back out again, I want no part of it. I won't even talk about it anymore. When I hear people talk about it, I got to get away from that. That's a shift. And the great thing about the 12 steps, it's a soulful body of work if we think about it. It's all soul work, spirit work, whatever word works for you. To get to a place where we get, scripture talks about this, a renewing of the mind, not through self-help or positive affirmations, that doesn't work. The part of me that creates the problem is not where I'm going to go to solve the problem, but through an awakening of the spirit. When that happens, when we get down to step 10, it tells me sanity has returned. And step 2, I'm looking to get to a place of sanity by getting out of the insanity. Here's the thing. I don't have the power to do any of this stuff. Sometimes I'll go to an anniversary and newcomers get a pass on it because we all do it. But after a while, I hear folks, you know, 10, 15 years sober, telling the group how hard they worked on their sobriety. That couldn't be further from the truth for a guy like me. What did you do? Oh, I blew up my life. That I'll take the hit for. I come in here. God gave this drunk desperation and a willingness to go to any lengths. So when someone says, well, here's what you need to do, I'm taking it. I have nothing to do with this. Not by my merits, I'm sober. My the good things about me that I write inventory of prayer. This is all him. And once we get connected, things start to flip. The point of view on everything shifts. And it never has to go back to the old point of view. Even with this predator called the mind that's always chirping. The difference between being new when we're untreated and being here a while and being spiritually fit is that the voices, we just don't listen to them. Usually. See, when we talk about came to believe the power of greatness of restorative sanity, this involves some faith, belief, and kissing cousins, those words, by the way. You can break them up if you want. But before I even get there, I may not really have faith that this God's going to work for me other than what I see in you. Well, it's working for him, so maybe it'll work for me. But I'm not in a place of being convinced yet. That's really okay. What I need to have faith in, what I need to believe in, is that anything about me and anything I do gets me drunk. The ego is going to fight for its life with a statement like that. I have to take a look and believe anything I touch is going to melt. And if I run the show, I'm going back to a bottle of whiskey eventually. I'll act out 80 different ways. I'll back off of people. I'll blame people. But eventually, there's a bottle of whiskey for me. I need to be convinced of that. Same thing when we look at bedevilments in chapter 2 agnostics. For years, I just thought it was about me going sideways, never looking at the bedevilments. What's behind every bedevilment is a bottle of whiskey. If I'm having trouble in personal relationships over and over and over again, the problem is with me. I can't make a living. I'm a prey to misery and depression. It's all me. I've gotten weak, anemic. The muscles have gotten flabby. I'm like marshmallow muscles in the soul. What happens eventually? I get away from everyone. I start to isolate. Look what the world has done to me. And there's a default button that says, we got a remedy for this. It's called whiskey. So the truth is true until I discover new truths. And the great thing about Alcoholics Anonymous, if we're working with the sponsor and work with others, we're in this book, there's always things that are shifting. I believed this for the longest time, but now there's a new experience. The truth is true until I discover a new truth. Doctor's opinion, and I speak for myself here, my experience, doctor's opinion all the way to page 43 is all about step one. We got some body stuff, we got some mind stuff, we got doctor's opinion that talks about needing the psychic change and the phenomenon called craving. 53 pages all on step one. All of that brings me to page 44, and I want to read it because I will screw it up if I don't. All of that brings us to this, where it says on page 44, if when we honestly want to, we find we cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking we have little control of the amount we take, we're probably alcoholic. I cannot answer that proposition clearly until I'm clear on all 43 pages plus doctor's opinion as to what my truth is. I'm going to have one tonight, just one. The guys are at the bar. I'm just going to go say hello. I'm in AA now. I just got out of treatment. I'm bulletproof. You know, if someone, God forbid, was to get shot, they'd get rushed to the hospital. Hopefully they pull the bullet out, stitch you out, and a couple of days you go home. You're healed. Eventually the scar, you know, you get a scar. And you talk about one time I got shot, but I'm alive and I'm going to the gym and I'm healthy. But I'm not bulletproof. And when I was new, and maybe newcomers can get this, I go to treatment. I think I'm drink proof or drug proof because I went to treatment for 40 days. And one of the things about, that's how I was going with this, one of the things about insanity, the most insane thing I'll ever do in my entire life, I'll do from a place called sober. I never picked up the first drink drunk. From a place called sober, I will practice infidelity. From a place called sober, I will embezzle from my boss. From a place called sober, I will steal. From a place called sober, I will lie. From a place called sober, I will manipulate and control. These are all untreated behavior, but I will do from a place called sober. And once the ego starts to reemerge and shows up, I'm the last person to think I have a problem. It's your problem. Your perceptions about me are wrong. So I had to be convinced of what my truth is, what my condition is, that I'm an alcoholic. What does that mean? Not that I can drink, but I just can't stop drinking. And I don't know when I'm going to stop drinking. I don't even know when I'm going to start drinking. I swear I'm not going to drink after this treatment center. I'm not going to take any narcotics after this treatment center. And I walk outside, hit the fresh air, and I'm drunk in an hour. It happened to me 6 times. Get arrested. That's it. God, please get me out of this one. I'll never do it again. Just let me go ROR from the judge. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I get released ROR. I go right to the spot. I'll control and manage my using this time. It's like giving a crackhead a big rock and say, now manage and control this for the next 6. This has to last you. All the crackheads just woke up in this room. Okay. Shoof. I was going nowhere talking about booze. I mentioned crack. I got everyone's attention. Okay. There were just a couple of things I wanted to hit here. Okay. In our book, it says lack of power is our dilemma. For me, this is probably the most powerful line for me. It sums me up. I don't have power. I don't have power to change you. I don't have a power to fix you. I don't have the power to get you drunk. I don't have the power to get you sober. I don't have the power. And as long as I think I have power, I have a lot of dilemmas. Once I access this power, no dilemma. And depending on where I am on this spiritual walk, how free do I want to be? How much God am I embracing? I'll find myself with less troubles and difficulties and unmanageability and a lot less current agnosticism. I'm traveling light at this point. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a cradle Catholic. Never doubted the carpenter. Never doubted there was some power out there. It was just a huge separation, if you will, between me and God. I was agnostic. If there was a God, then how come all these problems? If there was a God, how come I am what I am? And when it came to life situations, I handle them. I'm not going to sit back and say, hey, God, you fix this. It wasn't going to happen. I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. They talk about this power greater than myself. Well, I got a problem. I see old-timers with, you know, old-timers 5 years when you knew, 10 years, let alone the guys and women with 30 and 40 years. They're convinced. They're praying that God will fix it. Just leave it to God. Leave it in God's hands. I'm not there yet. And they had, some of them believed in the carpenter, some great spirit out there. I know it's there, but I'm not connecting. And they're talking about a Cain to believe that a power greater than myself is going to restore me to sanity. After all I've done, this power is going to bring me to a place of neutrality, safe and protected. It's truly God's mercy. We talk about God's power in Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's really his mercy. So what do I do? I had to take a look at my old perceptions and conceptions about this God, which were all wrong. So what I used at the beginning on June 23rd, 1988, my first day separated from booze, it really was a GOD. It was a gift of desperation. It didn't feel godly, smell godly, sound godly, look godly. It was all God. Created an environment to get my attention. Yeah. And then I come in here and I'm talking about this power greater than myself. How do you do this? How does Joe pray and convince? How does Mary pray and say, God will fix it? And when they get disappointments, well, that's how God wanted it. There's something better. This is like Latin to me. It's not tangible. See, what I found out on this spiritual walk, in the physical world, seeing is believing. In Alcoholics Anonymous, believing is seeing. This was new territory for me. So what do I do? Where do we go from here? If someone in this room is like that, I get it. You're not unique. But why are we in a meeting called Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm alcoholic, which means what? I can't stop drinking. I need help. Absolutely. It's a GOD, a group of drunks where I get good, orderly direction. If that's what you believe in at the beginning, and you're willing to believe in not in you, but a meeting, a group of drunks, good, orderly direction, we're on our way. Over and over and over again, our book talks about willingness. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe? It says that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Let's say inner power, that possibility. Is it possible, Joe, in this whole universe, that there might be something out there a little bit more powerful than you? The answer has to be probably. Good. Let's start with that. Let's start with that. A mustard seed of willingness. That's all it requires. And step one will make me in that place, bring me to that place. Wait a minute, I look at my track record. Anything I touch breaks. Any relationship I'm in is toxic. Anytime I pick up a drink, I wind up in jail. I wind up in treatment. I wind up in detox. I'm homeless. Anything. I can't handle money. I can't even raise my own children. It goes on and on and on. Is it possible that something out there is bigger than you, stronger than you? Yes, let's keep moving. And I get a sponsor and start walking through step two based on this. I'm going to turn my will life over to care of God, that this power called God is going to restore me to sanity, this group of junks, good only direction. I start to walk through chapter two, agnostics. Next division for you, my second favorite chapter. It tells me how to find God. It's like spiritual kindergarten. Very often, I think AA is like that hall of fame of spirituality. It's a triage unit is what we are. That's what we're sitting in. Tells me how to find God. Well, how do I find this God? Are you willing? Yes. Okay, good. Lay aside old ideas, perceptions and conceptions about God. Maybe we come from a family of heavy religion and rebelled against it. Maybe we come from a family of no religion. Maybe we come from a family of atheists. Maybe bad things have happened to us, trauma. A lot of us have that. I have that. If there was a God, how come this? All it's asking me doesn't say you're wrong for feeling this way or thinking this way. It just says, lay it aside. Just put it on the shelf for 10 minutes. Can you do that? That's all it's asking. Just lay aside old ideas and willing to believe in something else. Where do I find this God? Well, I thought it was in her on the first date. I thought it was in when I won at the casino. I thought it was in the drug dealer gave me too much drugs for the money I pay. There is a God. When I thought I was getting arrested, the police drove me around the block and said, now don't let me see him. Let me out of the car. That's what I judge on all of that stuff. The last place as an alcoholic I'm ever going to look is inside. It's the great secret. When I get this, I'll have God. When I get that, I'll be okay. And I get there and I get that, I'm still not okay. In fact, a whole bunch of money, I take me into a higher tax bracket, and I'm still not okay. The journey was in, but I don't know how to get in. I don't know how to start. Well, God doesn't ask me to jump through hoops here. It's not spiritual trigonometry. That's the blessing of this book. It's spirituality 101. Where I go with that is really up to me, or maybe a calling. But where do I find this God? It says deep down in every, so God doesn't leave anyone out. Every man, woman, and child is a fundamental basic idea of God. It's there. Scripture said something like that God has given us each an equal measure of faith. So when he's creating, he says, a little faith for you, same amount for you, same amount for you, same amount. We all got it. It's there. You can deny it all you want, but it's there. Because something happens, I think about my life in here, that something happens where one day you just feel ignited. Like you're in, you're connected. It's not just a happy feeling. It's something that words can't describe. You just, something's right again. We do it when we're in here. Like if someone is speaking, and you know that AA thing we do when someone speaks, and you kind of do this, you bow your head, it's all just very powerful reaction to what he or she said. That's not coming from the head. That's the Spirit acknowledging what it always knew. And there's that reaction. You can almost feel, yes, the Spirit knew it all along. It's kind of like that when we get in here. We start to hear stuff and make sense. It's all God working in my life. What I look for is the seas parting, you know, me able to levitate after I'm done talking, walking across. I got to see a miracle, failing to realize it's been 30 days. I haven't picked up a drink yet. It's been 60 days. I changed my baby's diaper for the first time in 2 years. It's been 90 days. I've taken a bath for 90 days. I shave. I got a haircut, and I have money this week's check. I still have last week's check. This is like inventing plutonium at this point. And why do we find this God? Our book tells us. And I'll paraphrase because it's a long explanation, but simply put, when I see you solving your problems with a simple reliance upon God, how could I deny it? When I hear your testimony from a podium, you say you were here, what it was like, what happened, the spiritual transformation, what you're like now living in a world of the Spirit. What life coming at us? Because we get sober, life doesn't, you know, the election's going to, Pete's sober, so the election's going to be nice and easy. Pete's sober, so the lottery commission's going to say, let's give him $5 million. He's a nice guy. Life happens. I navigate through it different. I got a new GPS. And none of it looks like I used to. None of it sounds like I used to sound. The behavior looks nothing like it used to. This is God doing for me what I can't do for myself. One of the greatest freedoms, I've said this from a million podiums, I've experienced is coming in touch with, and when I say embracing, I don't mean like I walk around, isn't this great, but embracing my brokenness, my flawed character. It's the way God designed it. He doesn't need perfect people. He gets the worst of the worst and gives them this conversion to give great testimony in depth and weight. That's why our message is so powerful. We go into a family who has a family member who's an alcoholic, and we share with them where we've been, and here we are in living color, clean and sober. That's depth and weight. How did you go from here to there? It's God. How is it possible that, and everyone will identify with this, as long as I'm up, I'm thinking about drinking. As long as I'm up, I'm thinking about getting money to get high. It's just 24/7, basically. I go to any lengths, take every risk possible, just one more time. Then we come into Alcoholics Anonymous. We submit, if you will. We get a sponsor, and he or she sits us down, however they do it, the different influence, different flavors and sponsorship, and start to walk us through this. And somewhere in our 12 steps, certainly by the time we get to 10, we have this huge space between what we were like and what we are like now. It doesn't even look the same anymore. And moreover, I haven't thought about that thing that always took me back. I forgot how long it's been. When was the last time I thought about using? I don't know. I've been to ball games where they serve beer. I watch ball games where there's beer commercials. I've done 12-step calls and threw crack pipes and syringes away and emptied the whiskey bottle down the sink. How is this possible? It's not me. It's the greatness of the mercy of God. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. It's an arrival. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But everything for me hinges back to step one. With the desperation I come in here with, when the ego gets silenced a little bit, hey, what are you doing? Bold enough to say, what meeting are you guys going to? Can I come with you? I wouldn't ask anyone for help. It's just too embarrassing. I'm a loser. Can I come with you guys? Loser. Now I get sober. It's like, where are you guys going tomorrow? You're going to the Monday night big book? Yeah, what time? I'll be there. You need a ride? Okay. Before I ask, I'll walk 40 miles. So I'm too embarrassed. You know, I'm the new guy, doesn't have a car. Then I get my first AA car. You know what they're like, 0 to 60 in 3 days. I mean, how that goes. Everything for me trickles back to step one. It says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, my conception of God. whatever that conception is. Group of drunks go all direction. Maybe it's a God personal to me. Maybe it's a God I grew up with. They don't care. They stayed out of the religion game, thank God. For some of us, we look at spiritual and we think religion and we kind of recoil based on stuff, experiences we've had. And AA is real clear. We've got spirituality over here and religion over here. For some of us, they meet. I'm one of those guys where they've met. They got religious dogma, I go to church, and they got their thing that's going on, and it's absolutely beautiful. I've come to respect most religions, yeah? For me, they've crisscrossed, they've met. For some of us, it never happens, and AA says, that's okay. It's really okay. They don't say, you have to, you must, or else. The traditions talk about this with groups, but we can do it ourselves. We become our own judge and jury and eventually executioner. You know, I'm starving. I haven't eaten in 3 days. And I go to Nancy's house and she prepares a meal for me. And I say, I don't like that. I'm leaving. People say, what's wrong with you? You haven't eaten. Eat anything. We can do that with recovery. We can do that with God. Remember the desperation of being out there when you don't have money to get to the liquor store and you're vibrating. And for the little druggies out there, when you're dope sick and you've got to hustle up money because you got to get straight now. And you'll do anything, or need to hit off a crack. I'll do anything. That kind of desperation. God doesn't even need that much from you. He's too loving. If our children were hungry, Scripture says we give them a rock to eat. We give them our own food. So how to get rid of all these old ideas about God? They were wrong for most of us. For me, they were. I can't believe I'll be 65 Sunday, but that era we grew up with, you're going to burn in hell if you think about bad stuff. God's going to get you. I was told a million times, God's going to punish you, so you want me to pray to this guy? And AA gave me a whole new look. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. It's an arrival that at some point I will get to a place where it says God could and would if he was sought. My experience God can and has because I seek. Yeah. And so I was able to take a look at areas in my life that I believe in God or believe God's working in my life. Well, I haven't picked up a drink in this long, so it must be God. You know, I've been eating every day, so it must be God. Then I took a look at areas in my life where I don't believe God's working. I have enough money yet. I can't find the right lady yet. You know, I'm still acting out this way. I still got a lot of dialogue in the head. I still didn't get a job yet. I guess God's not working in my life. And I took a look at that, and that's all my agnosticism. What's scary is in recovery, we can experience what my sponsor would call is current agnosticism. You know, sober here, double digits, say. Current agnosticism goes along with unmanageability, troubles, and difficulty, and self-reliance. It's just this vicious cycle. Current agnosticism, in this area of my life today, I don't believe God's going to work. Here comes fear. When fear shows up, here comes self-reliance to fix it. And as soon as I do that, things start to unravel. It's called unmanageability. And I go deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole instead of just letting go absolutely. In Alcoholics Anonymous, in the spiritual world, believing is seeing. How many times in my life, I'll give you a good example. It's actually a couple of years ago now, a few years ago. My wife and I were thinking about going to Tampa to move. And this company was on the front end, looked like this unbelievable offer. And I had to pay attention to it at my age. This would ride me off into the sunset, retirement, fat paycheck, a lot of benefits. Everything was window dressing, but it looked good. But we were puzzled. Do I really want to leave? You know, I was living in Boca at the time. This community, which I got to tell you, I love this community down here. Some of the folks in Boca, it's hot. It's white hot in some spots. A lot of friendship. Do we really want to leave this to go to Tampa? And I went to Tampa, and there's lovely parts of Tampa, but I just didn't feel it. Then I started to think, so I'm going to compromise integrity for a paycheck because I'm doubting God's going to provide. And we were we went up there three times, and literally like every hour on the hour, we're going, no, we're going to stay, we're staying, no, we're going to go, no, we're going to go, we're going to stay. We're driving ourselves crazy. And we're up in Tampa in the hotel. I says, Marion, what are we doing? And she knew what I meant. She said, let's pray. And we got on our knees, we held each other's hands, and we prayed. God, we're releasing this to you. We've been trying to manage and control this for like a month now. Wherever you, and this was the prayer, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. What you want us to do, we'll do. What you want us to say, we'll say. Hands off. We came back to Boca, and I made a bad business deal, which I got out of, but I'm still here, and I can't even fathom living in Tampa. I let go and let God. The answer was crystal clear. We're not leaving Boca. I don't want to leave Fort Lauderdale. I have relationships here, which you can't put money on. I know the meetings. You can't put money on that. And so we stood. And I'm very grateful we did. But it would have been a form of insanity for me just to, you know, right out of the gate say, let's go, because someone was dangling a big pocketbook of money in front of me. That's crazy. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, which means if I need to be restored to sanity, I must be insane somewhere. Now, if you're like me, my thinking was this. I did it again. I'm in trouble again. I'm hanging out with these people. Going, well, yeah, that's true. But the insanity they're talking about is going back to a drink when I'm sober. From a place called sober. They say doing the same thing over, expecting different results. The insanity wasn't, you know, running the streets and robbing and stealing under the influence. You know, going to bed what I think looks like Bo Derek and waking up next to Bo Diddley. I mean, you do that. You know, that's just drunk. You know, waking up next to someone or finding yourself, how did I get here? That's drunk. That's active. The insanity I need to be free from is starting it all over again, usually from a place called sober. Leaving AA, meeting, and going to the bar. Going home from work and supposed to leave work, going home, and I stop off at the crack house. Whatever it might be, I'm doing it sober. That has to be, I have to be relieved of that. And as I said earlier, what kind of areas of my life am I still kind of insane? What's my need to control, to dominate, to talk over, to talk through someone, to get recognized? I see a lot of this sometimes in AA, the need to be recognized in an AA meeting. I need to be the big gun in the room. And I'm annoying a lot of people, but I keep doing it. I'm pushing people away, but I keep doing it. I can experience this while I'm sober. And so what I did was I wrote down, one of the things I did was wrote down my old conception of God. And the one I grew up with, the one I just talked about, this punishing God, you know. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. And I wrote about what's my current conception of God. It was you, quite frankly. A group of drunks, so I got good early direction. And my sponsor, I want you to add something to this. He said, I want you to create something for the future. Create something. Your God for the future. What would your relationship, if you could write it out, if you could create a relationship with God or a God, what would it look like? What would it feel like? And I went right to the carpenter. I wrote about this loving, caring, forgiving, I'll tell you everything kind of soul. He's good. That's your pointer. When you're praying, point to, that's what you're going to pray to. And you know what happened? It got me unhooked from my old stuff. That there was finally hope. The light at the end of the tunnel wasn't a train headed for me. It's possible for a guy like me. Over the years, I must confess, a lot of adversity. You're around here a while, you're going to experience some adversity. Either losing people, God forbid some of us get sick, loss of a job, poor income. That kind of, a lot of that stuff has happened to me. God's kept my health, thank you, God, pretty good. But a lot of other things. And my knee-jerk reaction would be to control and handle. My dad passed away, it's almost a year now. I can't believe how fast it went. July 29th, I lost my dad last year. And only because of good sponsorship and the men that I sponsor, my wife, who's just the best, I kept my hands off the wheel. And my sponsors, your job is to support your family, not get full of self-pity. You'll cry. You'll get angry. You'll sulk. And you'll do it alone and not have to bring people in. And I didn't. I cried on my wife's shoulder more than a few times. But I was there for my family. And I supported my family as much as I can. And what's really interesting, I wasn't doing the old Peter. Because I got a free pass. I lost my dad. So I can say and act certain ways. I was living in God's light. And what was the result of that? My two younger brothers, and they're pretty independent. They're men. They have careers. They're successful. But they must have picked that up on me because they were leaning on me, the older brother. I understood that God gave me a role to play here. I'll just close with this. I don't want to get into step three yet, but in the big book, it talks about, God has given us, assigned us a role. Thank God he's assigned us a role. My brother's an actor. And if you meet him and spend time with him, he's probably one of the funniest guys. He's witty. He's just that, make the whole room laugh. He's very deep spiritually. As big as he is, it's this really soft spot. But the roles he plays are heavies all the time. He's played gangsters. He's played killers. You know, he's played that heavy, that dark character. Those are the roles he plays. That's not who he is. I can be an Alcoholics Anonymous and play a lot of roles. Okay, from this meeting, 7:15 to 8:15, I'll be Moses. Then I get my car, drive home. The role is now Rambo because I'm on 95. And then I'll play this role at work. And then I'll play this role when I'm with those guys. And I'll play a role that you see what I'm doing here? But it says, it talks about God has assigned us, this is serious business. So he's given us this role to play, but it's not like when I'm in a mood or when the camera says go. This is a role permanently, because when I get away from that, now I'm acting and it's too painful. So I'm grateful, and the book talks about God has assigned me this role to play. It's vital, it's important, not to me, but to all, not only to me, but to others also. I had to be free of me in order to do that. The freer I am of me, the lighter I travel. The less of me, the more God. The more God, less of me. And here's the cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous and this great God. I don't need to have a college degree to do this. I could be a dropout. I could be illiterate. I can be an atheist. They're easiest to flip, by the way. But I come in here, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do anything. And God says, well, here's the whole platter. And everything changes. I like playing God's role. It's painful. When I don't, I can feel it. There's tension. I get tight. I second guess. I try to sound good, look good, lie a little bit, cheat a little bit, cut a corner. No good. God's role, an open book, and I travel light. But I had to be free of me first. So again, just to wrap up here, because I'm almost out of time. For me, everything trickles back to step one. Do I want to, if I go to an ocean with a thimble, I come home with a thimble full of water and God's given me the whole thing. How free do I want to be? Am I currently in a place of ease and comfort or dis-ease and discomfort? Am I in a place of compliance or surrender? My actions will determine that. This spiritual walk God has put me on, us on. Okay. If it doesn't touch every area of my life, it touches none of my life. I can't be a little bit spiritual here and a little acting like a drunk there. I have to be all in. If you want to know what my belief systems are, just walk with me. And you determine. I don't fill out my own report. I don't mark my own paper in AA. You have to do that. And report back to me, pass or fail. And even when we fail, God says, get back in the saddle, I'll fix you. It's the cool thing about AA. We're never kicked out with all the screw-ups. The cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a room, and I don't mean this with disrespect, by the way, we're a room full of broken toys. were the throwaways. And it makes no sense that folks like us become the point person in many of our families, the point person in our business, become respectable. How do you say that again? What you said. Okay. There's a woman, Carolyn Mason, she says this. Although our lives look ordinary, they're actually extraordinary. So it starts in step one with that desperation and looking at the pointer out. Step two is the pointer out of this madness. Am I willing to do that? Step one will say, yeah, keep going. I'm willing to believe in a group of junks will lead direction. It's better than what I got. It's something. And then they just kind of slide us right into, that's something you're holding on to. You want to give everything to it. And we kind of pump the brakes a little bit. But my sponsor seems to be free. He's free. She's free. They're free. The whole group is free. What do I got to lose? Nothing. Okay, let's try it. That's what it is. I'll try it. And we'll talk about that next week. That's all I got. Peace.
Let's thank Peter one more time. And we're going to have Ryan with the secretary's report.
Hello. My name is Ryan. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supported in declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. There's also QR codes on the back of the chairs that will send you to our Venmo account if you'd rather give that way. As the baskets are going around, I've asked Kelly to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So let's welcome Kelly.
Alcoholic named Kelly. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured? That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body, page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly. 1940-style big book sponsorship from the foreword to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way, 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back into his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75%+ success rate. Does anybody need a sponsor? Just raise your hand. No? You can just come stand up here after the meeting if you're too shy, and someone will come talk to you. Can the recovered alcoholics raise your hand? Awesome. If your hand's not up, talk to someone whose hand is. We have some screen announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC here? Awesome. You can talk to Jay or Kelly or you after the meeting. Monday nights we have our big book study, same room, right here at 7:15. We got Peter, Mike Chase, and Jay. So come check it out. We're reading A Vision for You right now, and it's amazing. And then next week we have Peter on his fourth session, and it's been amazing so far, so definitely come check that out. And that's it. All right. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, and little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale on the piano in the back. If you're interested in any of that, just see a home group member. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Thanks, and see you next week.
We have tonight's session and all past speakers podcasted at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study, and those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
zan, zan, zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, when you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
shine, 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 let it shine. Out in the dark.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light on me tonight.
to go and I work these hands right down to the bone. Work these hands right down to the bone. I've worked so hard for someone I don't know. I watch these walls be bought and sold, so low.
Got one man that just won't say.